Cinebuds, Cinebuds, two buddies talking about cinema.
Hi, this is Christopher Pollard from Milwaukee Film.
I'm Dory Zori from Radio Milwaukee.
And I'm Kirsten Larson from Milwaukee Film as well.
She's back!
Yay! Woo! Thank you for coming back.
My pleasure.
Yeah, this week, our second part of the Milwaukee Film Festival preview, Kirsten's joining us again, and we're going to talk about a bunch of films that you can see in the second half of the Milwaukee Film Festival.
I love it. Before we dig into the specific films, do you have any idea how many films you actually show during the film festival?
I sure do. I counted them myself.
Perfect.
So we have a beautiful around 300 total films. And so that is 131 features and 169 short films. Because
wow.
I'm so good at math.
That's a lot of films.
I didn't prepare and practice this a lot.
I'm not going to add it up. I assume you're right.
And yeah, those short films comprise 21 shorts programs. And then there's 3 pre-feature shorts if we're going to get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we really are going to get into the nitty-gritty, we also have 1 super secret member screening.
That's
which
also true,
I believe would have already happened by the time. Or would this happen the day?
The day of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. These drop
today.
On Wednesday.
It happens tonight.
Yes.
Super secret.
So if you're not a member of Milwaukee Film, you can't go.
That's right.
So you don't get to see the beautiful 301st film in our festival.
That's, yeah, perfect.
And you missed out, but you could join and see it next year.
That's true.
Well, and if you're new to the whole Milwaukee Film Festival experience, you don't have to be a member to see the films. That's kind of the beauty of it. You can buy a film festival pass, which gets you in to just about every film, right?
Every
or you could
film.
Buy individual tickets, too.
That's right. Tickets are on sale now, mkefilm.org. But yeah, you can. The entire city's coming out for the festival for sure. The only one that's just for members is the super secret screening, but everything else, the other 300, I think you'll find something you like.
And how many venues across the city now are the films shown in?
Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
So we have the Avalon Theater in Bayview. We have the Time Cinema out west. And then we have the beautiful Oriental Theater, 3 screens there. And then we have the Downer Theater.
Yay! Welcome, baby boy Downer.
Mm-hmm. Reborn. We're very excited. Not only will the Downer be with us for the festival, but thereafter, because Milwaukee Film now has a lease for the Downer, and we'll be running movies there too. So this is huge for us. The variety immediately, you'd be surprised with just 2 extra screens how much different stuff we're able to do. So,
and the fact that your organization is now in control of a historic theater on the east side of Milwaukee makes us all feel like a little bit good. That I know when the announcement came out that the Downer was closing, everyone gasped and worried what would happen, but it's in good hands.
I hope so. I mean, it is. You're right.
You have a little confidence, Christopher.
I do have confidence, but I'm precious about it because it's such a rare scenario to not only have a nearly 100-year-old film palace that has been playing movies since it was made, but to have now an over 100-year-old movie theater also has been playing movies since its creation, and they're like half a mile from each other.
Yeah.
And this city has such a rare scenario like that, and I really I'm just delighted, and I think we all are.
Mm-hmm.
You just stick around. We'll be right back with all the fun picks.
Milwaukee's longest-running food podcast, This Bites, is going to be taking a little summer vacation during the month of August. But don't worry, we'll be back in September with all new episodes, interviews with members of Milwaukee's food scene, and more. In the meantime, continue to check out Ann's Milwaukee Magazine articles online at milwaukeemag.com and in print. Plus, catch up on the over 250 episodes of This Bites wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back.
All right, week 2. We saw so many great films last week. What's coming up this week? Because we're not done yet.
Absolutely not.
We're just getting started.
In fact, when we look at the numbers, the second week is even more popular than the first because everyone remembers that it's happening. Oh, yeah. And then, like, all the screenings sell out and it's, like, crazy.
Yeah, we got to get out there before it ends.
For real. So one screening I'm very excited about is a lot of our movies are just movies and they're really exciting to see with a lot of people. But then we do have some eventized screenings. And so we are showing The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari with live musical accompaniment from the Anvil Orchestra, who always comes to do these live performances for us at the theater of like silent film classics. And this one is very exciting for me because I love a horror film doing the Cinema Hooligante programming. So, I mean, it's not that scary. If you're not in, if you're not into horror, don't freak out.
It's but, more creepy than scary, right?
Scary 2024 is different than scary 2024.
Yeah,
I was 1924.
I'm like, Christopher, how do you know your cinema
history? I did some terrible math there.
But yeah, it's always unmissable. Like, I've definitely been to some of those screenings in the main house of the Oriental that's like completely full, which is an unparalleled experience.
That is 100% true.
Would you have to open up the balcony?
Exactly.
Will the balcony be open for the film festival?
If needed.
The great thing, the balcony is beautiful, and ever since we did the restoration, it's even better. The only thing, we can only show stuff in the balcony if there's enough people for the balcony, because sound is it's such an old, beautiful building that the sound is affected, so you need enough people up there to warrant it, and then it's this amazing experience,
Nice.
But yeah, I'm really excited for the science. So Dr. Caligari, silent film, horror film, musical.
What country was that made in? Here?
I believe Germany.
Germany was
German.
That makes sense.
Expressionist film.
No, it's a really cool. When you see the images of it, everyone will recognize the very classic images. But that's going to be, I'm glad you pointed that one out. That was exciting.
And another thing I wanted to point out that we just got the info for today is that there's, we have our new organ installed in the main house of the Oriental.
Oh my gosh.
And so we'll have some of the organist playing in front of some of the screenings, which will just be a blast. And I love it so much. It makes you feel like you're back in the 20s.
It's really cool. When you come in, you're getting your seat, you got an organist up there playing just like in the olden timey days.
It's such a treat to anyone out there listening who's never seen the organ player live at the movies or the Anvil Orchestra. That really is like a memory you can make with your family by going to see things like this together. It's just so very, very special. It reminds you why theaters are still around today.
Yeah. No, it is perfect. That's an awesome. And we didn't have the organ for a while. And then now we have one that's even more original to the building than the previous one was.
How's that?
It's an organ from the 1920s.
Whoa.
And the other one I think was like 50s or 60s or something like that. It was a later decade.
You find that on Craigslist?
Yeah. You just, I mean, there's tons of them.
Facebook Marketplace.
Just popped up. I brought a friend with me to make me feel safe, and we picked up the organ.
Police station.
It was literally a year and a half long process to get it installed because the pipes go up through the building. Like the organ becomes a part of the building itself.
Kind of like the lungs, the heart.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Aww. So yeah, that's going to be fun. There'll be peppered throughout the festival. You'll hear the organ.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Cinema Hooligante is a special level of movies. What else do you have planned for that category this year?
So much fun stuff. A couple movies I wanted to highlight is we have two Korean movies in Cinema Hooligante this year. So the first one is called Concrete Utopia, which is kind of a classic like Korean disaster movie where an earthquake completely levels the city of Seoul, probably more of the world, but we can't worry about that.
Yeah.
And so it completely levels the city and the only thing left is one apartment building. And so it's sort of this like survival thriller of the people who live in that building trying to decide whether they want to let in people from the outside. And it has lots of twists and turns in it and sort of like akin to a Bong Joon-ho movie where there's some humor to it. It's a little absurd, but it'll keep you rapt attention the whole time. And then another Korean horror movie we have is called Sleep, which it starts out where it's a couple who have recently had a new baby. And then the husband starts sleepwalking and like sleep talking. And he says there's someone inside and his wife hears him and she's so freaked out. But then the tables kind of turn where he's like, oh, I'll just go to the doctor. We'll like have a psychologist figure out like why I'm sleepwalking. We'll deal with it. But then the wife becomes so paranoid because she's freaked out that he's going to like do something to their baby that she starts to be like a threat to the family because she's like, do not come close to me. You can't come in our home, whatever. And then by the end of it, it's one of those classic situations where you're like, which one of them is right? Like, yeah, is he possessed by a demon or is she crazy? And you have no idea what's real. And I don't know if it's a spoiler to say, I still don't know after watching the movie. It is unclear. But yeah, those are both great.
Oh, those sound so good. Concrete Utopia was on my list of ones I was excited about, but now Sleep is definitely on there too. And let me just say, for those who don't know, Korea in the last 10, 15 years, 20, I don't know, has come up with some of the best movies and television around. Like they, like Parasite is a great example, won the Best Picture a couple years ago. Squid Games was a huge hit. But beyond that, there is just an unbelievable film scene over there where they're making incredibly inventive and really cool movies. So anytime I hear Korea's a movie from Korea, I'm like, well, I gotta check that out.
Is there do you have any knowledge, are they putting more money into arts in the country?
I believe so, because it's sort of with like K-pop too, where they're just funding all of these cultural endeavors to, I don't know, spread the good word of Korean culture around the world. And they're doing a great job. And I also, I don't know, honestly, have just been noting for myself personally, but I'll share this hot tip with everyone. There's a lot of really good Korean restaurants like right around the Oriental Theater. I'm like, go get your Korean dinner and then go see your Korean horror movie. And it'll be a slam dunk, because sometimes I'm watching these movies and I'm like, dang, that food looks so good. And I'm like, I need to be prepared.
That is such a good, that is such a good tip. I have worked here 12 years and I never thought to pair the movies with the restaurants around it. That's perfect.
Wait, before we go into more movies, Christopher, what is your favorite movie snack? Is it the obvious one?
No, I've actually, and this is absolutely horrific to hear out loud. I am off the popcorn. I've had so much popcorn. I've worked here a long time. I feel like I've had so much popcorn that I'm mostly done with it. If someone offers me popcorn, I'll have it. I'll enjoy it. But I'm more of a peanut M&M fella.
Ooh.
Though I am so militant about noise in the theater.
Yeah.
I never want to be the one making noise. And so there's a lot of obstacles with a peanut M&M box and getting them out. It's just like marbles letting loose inside of a tin can.
And then they pour out so fast and then one goes rolling down the aisle and it's not good.
I never want to be the one. People are turning around going, who is making all that noise?
Yeah.
So I am very slow and methodical about getting them out. Just a tip. That's my pro tip.
That is a pro tip. Kirsten, what about you?
Well, I am pro popcorn, so.
Listen, I support everyone's choice to eat popcorn.
Yeah, there's a rift in this family. but I like to joke that I got into the movie business because I love popcorn so much. I'm in it for the free popcorn.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing to do is, and I do always make a fool of myself.
I know this and I like it.
But I'm ready to take the fall for this.
It's a safe space.
Yeah. And now everyone's going to know. So maybe it'll be less weird. Because I love to get a kids pack at a theater, which is like a little box of popcorn that comes with like a tiny soda and fruit snacks. And then I mix the fruit snacks in with the popcorn. And then the tiny soda is not too big, so I don't have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the movie. And it costs like $5.
That's genius. That's really good.
I love it.
But they just look at you like you're crazy, where they're like, do you have a child? And I'm like, no, it's for me.
Proudly. It's for me, sirs.
It's for the child inside of me.
Exactly.
You know, everyone does. I've always hear about the mix-ins. People put Milk Duds in there. They put Junior Mints. Yeah, you do Milk Duds.
I'm a Milk Duds popcorn girl.
I think it's genius, and I have never done it. And I do. I would get a popcorn to try and mix in.
That could reinvigorate your love affair with popcorn.
It could. Mm-hmm. Let me be clear, everybody. I don't want to get
you're getting
crucified
canceled
on the Twitters. But I do like popcorn. Mm-hmm. I like its buttery goodness. I've just had so much of it, mm-hmm. and I'm scared about my gums.
Aw, very responsible. I also have considered bringing my own bowl to a theater so I can like dump out my popcorn and like really get all the nutritional yeast over the whole thing.
Then you're not crinkling a bag as you're digging in for the bottom stuff.
Exactly, but I have not gone that far yet.
Yet. It's Milwaukee, just a matter of time.
Film popcorn bowls.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That you could buy, refillable, bring them to the theater. You're welcome.
All right. Let's get on it.
I'm on it.
So now that we've got our snacks set, okay, yes, we'll get back
we'll
to this week two
movies
of films.
What else should we be looking forward to?
Let's see. Oh, we have another glorious return to the festival this year, which is the Milwaukee Music Video Show.
Oh, yay, that's my favorite.
Yay. So yeah, every year we get a lot of submitted local films, and sometimes there's a lot of music videos, sometimes there aren't. And the past few years, there haven't been a ton, so we just incorporate them into our regular Milwaukee shows, which is just sort of our variety show of local short films. But this year, we had a ton of really good music videos, so we could make our own big program of them. And so that's always going to be a fun night where we like bunch them together, where we show a few, and then we do Q&A with the directors and the bands, and then we show a few more and have a little conversation. And it's so fun because you can also see people bouncing ideas off of each other, sharing feedback and stuff. And of course, music videos are a blast. So you got to check those out, and it's a great combination of local bands and local filmmakers coming together to make beautiful stuff. So, yeah, it's a must-see event.
And there's tons of cool musicians at that one.
Oh,
you're
going
to see all the cool musicians that come to it. It'll be great.
That I think the last time I sat in the balcony of the Oriental, it might have either been for a Milwaukee show or the music video, because people show up and turn out for that, and it's a really wonderful way to like rub elbows with the musicians that maybe you've listened to for years or decades, and now they're here and you're sharing this experience. So with the Milwaukee Film Festival, one of the neat things is usually with most of the films, you show them multiple times at different, sometimes even different theaters, different times. Does that happen with specialty things like the music videos, or like get your tickets because this is the only chance you'll get to see
those
the videos?
Yeah, those are
I love that
once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yes,
you
nice
have to go on that day. And yeah, we have all our special guests and all of our friends, so you got to check it out.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Are there any hot tips for the film festival that like frequently asked questions or like insider secrets like that you want to share with the listeners that maybe have never been to a film festival before, like about the process? Or I know like, you know, you've got the lines where the rush lines, like what does that
mean?
Oh,
sure. Yeah.
Like fun things like that.
Yeah. You have got a ticket line. And guess what that's for? That's for ticket holders.
Oh,
that's very
simple.
Makes sense. But then you have a pass holder line. If you've bought the full pass that gets you free access to all the films, the pass holder line goes in first. That's another advantage of having the pass, to make sure that you have access to all of them because you paid for that. And then we have a standby line. So what that is for is if the film is sold as many as we can, then what happens is we fill the theater with the pass holders, fill them with the ticket holders, and if people don't show up, you know, that anything could happen. If there's space in there, then we start selling tickets to the standby line at like about 15 minutes till the film starts. That way, I mean, when you have a film festival, you have to maximize every screenings. So we want, and we also want the city to be able to go in. So you can go and wait in the standby line to see if you can get in if they're no longer on sale.
And I don't know if this is wrong to say, but I've been in the standby line before a couple times, and I've always been able to get a last minute seat. So don't shy away from something. Take your chance and stand in the standby line.
I would say statistically, especially if you're there early, you're probably going to get in. Mm-hmm. It's rare that everyone shows up 100% filling the place up. But you know, it is a roll of the dice. Mm-hmm. It is possible because sometimes we have screenings. There's only one screening and everybody wants to go to it. We'll have a real long line. Mm-hmm. We do turn people away from the standby line, but you have a good shot at it.
I just want to do a little myth busting because I think it's so fun, the film festival. But if it's your first time, it's a little hard to navigate sometimes. But the great thing is you always have so many volunteers ready to answer any questions that people have when they're at the film festival.
I would say the biggest tip is, because you're right, a film festival is more complicated than just going to a multiplex and just running and seeing a movie, because there's so many different movies, there's people everywhere. So, but I would say if you're daunted by that process, just reach out to us. We have a helpline, we have a help email, help@mkefilm.org. If you have questions, do not hesitate to ask. We're so excited to bring you in. We'll be happily guide you through the process. And if you go online to our festival guide, if you go to our Milwaukee Film Festival page, there's a bunch of little boxes that explain here's where you can find the program book. Here's how lines work. There's all the FAQs on our website. So there's a lot of information.
I love it that you make it so accessible for everyone.
Yeah, it's really nice. What else we got?
Let me check it out. Oh my gosh, this one's going to be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. It's called Let the Canary Sing. And it is a documentary about Cyndi Lauper. And
I know.
What else is there to say? We love her.
I do. There's so many of her songs that have always been in my head for years. Like I mentioned last episode, Time After Time is at my wedding. It's one of my favorite songs.
Also, besides just being a wonderful musician, she's been such a great advocate for the LGBTQ+ community, really helping raise awareness and money when the AIDS crisis was going on when she was starting out. So she's I put her up there with Dolly Parton as far as talented, but then also kind and trying to make the world a better place. So does the documentary kind of go into some of that?
Oh, absolutely. It's got to cover the full breadth of her as a person. So you're going to learn it all. And I also think it is a great opportunity for intergenerational audience members, because the people who know her and love her are going to want to check it out and celebrate her history, maybe learn some stuff they didn't know.
Yeah.
But I also feel like the younger audiences may be into this kind of story, because I just went to see Olivia Rodrigo at the Pfizer Forum, and her opener was Chapel Roan, who was so good. And I feel like a lot of people have been comparing her to Cyndi Lauper. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like the youths who are into that style of music and what you're saying, the queer stylings and celebrating all of that, may want to check out the Cyndi Lauper documentary to see the origin of this kind of stylings.
Also, and I think 80s musicians and 80s music are real big right now. And there's so many callbacks. But I'm remembering when I was a kid in the 80s looking to music from the 60s and thinking how cool that was too. And I felt cool that I was looking back. I'm not just listening to Cyndi Lauper. I'm listening to The Doors or whatever.
What are the chances that you could see some people dressed up like Cyndi Lauper there?
I mean,
that would be delightful.
It would be delightful. Let's start that campaign now.
Yes.
Dress up
as Cyndi Lauper.
See Let the Canary Sing. I guess this is just going to be an 80s festival. Footloose.
I know. Footloose. Oh, that's a great
Cyndi Lauper. Is this festival for me?
Yes. We made it just for you, Dory.
Thanks, buds.
That is a good pick. I love her so much. Mm-hmm. And she's funny. Listening to her talk, she's got a great sense of humor. We just did a show about the greatest night in music. Is that what it was called?
Yes.
The documentary about the We Are the World.
Mm-hmm. USA for Africa song.
Yes, and her bit in there was so impressive. When you hear them sing without music and you're just hearing them out, they were in the studio, they've all got chops.
Yeah.
It's all impressive to hear them do it raw, and she was going for it.
And recording it at 4 in the morning after a long night at the American Music Awards. She's just a true talent and a wonderful human. And yay, thank you for bringing such thoughtful, wonderful films every single year. We're excited for the Milwaukee Film Festival. You guys probably already saw some great films. Maybe jump on our Instagram and let us know what you saw so far that you just are in love with.
That would be perfect. Love to hear from you. Should we ask Kirsten's more questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, are we going to ask her questions about her, right?
We're yeah.
Gonna do the, okay, yeah. So we did part one of getting to know mm-hmm. Kirsten last week. So this is part two. We're going to dig into some of her movie history. So this is the one I'm going to ask you. There's no guilty pleasures. I feel like you shouldn't be guilty about anything. But what is a movie that is generally poorly received, but you really love it?
Great question. I feel like if you had asked a different question, I would have had the same answer, which is like, what is a movie I've seen the most times?
Oh, yeah.
And I unfortunately have seen the movie Baby Geniuses like a million billion times because I loved it as a kid and I have not seen it since. Yeah. So who am I to say whether it is good or bad? So I'm going to say Baby Geniuses. And a fun fact I love about Baby Geniuses that I only realized as an adult is that it has the same director as the director of Black Christmas, which is what? Another movie that I really love.
What's Black Christmas?
It is a horror movie from the 70s, and it is like one of the first slasher films, and it's so good, but you're just like, how did you go from Baby Geniuses? He also directed, or he did Black Christmas, he did A Christmas Story.
Oh, really?
And Baby Geniuses.
That is such Whoa. An odd career.
He what a breath, wide breath of
multitudes. Yes.
Is that what that Maya Angelou song is?
Exactly.
All right. That's a great answer. And also you rolled up my question in there, what the movie you saw the most was. So here's, I had it and then I lost it. Oh, here's my second question. Did you go to drive-in theaters at all when you were younger?
Yes.
What would your favorite, if you were programming the best night at the drive-in, what would your opening movie be and then the feature film?
Oh my gosh. So opening movie is just, yeah, okay, getting us in the mood. I got this.
It's still the sun is just kind of setting.
For those of you who can't see Kirsten, which is everyone but us, I'm really watching a pro at work. I can see those cogs turning.
They sure are. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think of our opening movie because I know my feature 100%. You know what? We got this.
Okay.
I changed the order. So our first movie is going to be Twister. Because they have a drive-in movie scene in that movie. So I feel like that would be like a 4D movie experience.
On a windy night. Go
exactly.
See
exactly.
That would be amazing.
Yes. And then I think our ending feature would have to be Christine.
Oh,
so
yes.
you can have all of your cars and that movie I think would also be fun to see with a big crowd because that was another one I think I was doing like a Stephen King series by myself at home. Okay, I'm a nerd and I was like, this movie is all right, but I think if I saw it with a bunch of people and maybe around a bunch of cars, it would be more interactive and fun. And now I desperately want to do this feature.
Yeah.
Like, can we make this happen?
This is also that you did. I'm glad you switched it because that's the correct order, I think.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Twister is also mostly daylight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I thought like the sunset would look nice.
Yeah.
And it's intense for like... For like it's a disaster movie, but then you have the horror movie at night.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And Christine, you gotta be able to see the headlights.
Yeah,
so it's nighttime.
See, this is what you get when you're a professional.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
That's right.
Well, and my nonprofit job.
I had a question, but I think we're gonna end on that one because
that one's
a finale if I've ever heard it. Thank you so much for our 2 days of podcasting with us.
Anytime. I could keep going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Marcus Doucette, for being our awesome producer and making me sound like I know exactly what I'm talking about every time.
You're a genius. And thank you to Newski, who does our wonderful theme song.
Big shout out to Associated Bank, big part of sponsoring the Milwaukee Film Festival.
Absolutely. We thank you so much. And we thank all of our members, new and old, from Radio Milwaukee and from Milwaukee Film. Thank you guys so much.
And to our special guest, Kirsten
Larson.
Thank you guys.
All right, we'll see you out at the movies. Keep watching them.
Get some popcorn.
Yeah, mix them in.